Take your Bibles and turn with me to Matthew 15. And I want to read verses 1 through 9. The title of my message is Hypocrisy, the Highway to Hell. Matthew 15, beginning at verse 1. Then some Pharisees and scribes came to Jesus from Jerusalem and said, "Why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat bread." And he answered and said to them, and notice he answers with a question. It is a great way to answer someone who is being antagonistic to you. When they ask you an antagonistic question, you can answer them with a better question. And he answered and said to them, "Why do you yourselves transgress the commandment of God for the sake of your tradition?" There's the question. The title of this whole series that I do on Sunday night is answering the questions of Jesus, finding answers in the questions of Jesus. He's asking a question to make a statement, not to gain knowledge. Verse 4. "For God said, 'Honor your father and mother,' and he who speaks evil of father or mother is to be put to death. But you say, 'Whoever says to his father or his mother, whatever I have that would help you has been given to God,' he is not to honor his father or his mother. And by this you invalidate the word of God." Underline that phrase. You invalidate the word of God for the sake of your tradition. You hypocrites. Rightly did Isaiah prophesy of you, "This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far away from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the precepts of men." According to Jesus, there are many people who will stand on the judgment day who thought they were going to enter into heaven only to discover that they're actually going to spend eternity in hell. When our children were growing up in Alabama, cheerleading tryouts were some of the most tense times our girls ever faced. They all wanted to be cheerleaders. And I can remember one particular time when our oldest daughter was trying out for the high school cheerleading squad. There were about 100 girls that tried out. I think only 12 made it. It was so competitive, so rigorous, that the people who were the judges were called from out of town so that there would be no favoritism to anybody in Gardendale. And so they wanted to post the 12, but they were so afraid of the reaction of the parents, they literally sealed off the gym, and they would send one of the people that worked at the school, and they would just put the names on the window, the doors being locked, and then they would run out back and get in their cars and go home. No embellishment. And what happened there reminded me of what it's going to be like for people who think they're going to get into heaven, but they didn't make it. And I can remember a little girl named Katie, one of my daughter Lindsay's best friend. She and Lindsay had cheered together all the way through middle school, and she was sure she made it. She got up to the doorway, and you could hear it. I'm telling you, it was surreal. The girls were shouting that made it. About 1 out of 10 made it. "I made it, I made it." But for every one that was shouting, they made it. 9 or so were saying, I didn't make it. Katie and Lindsay walked up there together. Lindsay, her name was there. She started shouting, I made it, I made it. And right beside her was her best friend, Katie. And she didn't make it. And she cried, and I'll never forget, I looked at her and I said, sweetheart, in the vast sphere of things, it'll be all right. She looked at me and she said, no, Brother Steve, it won't be all right. And she broke down. Now, I know it's just making a cheerleading squad, but listen to the words of Jesus from Matthew 7, 21 through 23. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. Many will say to me on that day, many will say to me on that day, many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Hey guys, look at me. They're going to be preachers in hell. Did we not prophesy? Did we not preach in your name? In your name, cast out demons. There are going to be people who performed exorcisms who go to hell. And in your name, cast out demons. In your name, perform many miracles. There are going to be people that saw miracles happen. They're going to go to hell. And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. He did not say, you never knew me. He said, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. A lot of people are not going to make it that think they're going to make it. You see, Christians bear fruit that are indicative of a real root. And if there is no consistent fruit, it's because there's no root in the Lord Jesus Christ. In ancient times, when they would have plays in the Roman Empire and in the Greek Empire, there were no screens. So they had these large theaters. How were people to know what emotions the play actors were giving forth? Well, one of the things they did, they had masks, huge masks. If you were sad, there was this big sad face on a pole, and you would, while you're talking, great acoustics. Now, you want to talk about acoustics. They could build arenas, and you could talk without a mic, and they could hear, but you couldn't see. And so they would hold up the appropriate mask. It could be a sad face, a mad face, a happy face, or a frightened face. They just hold up the mask, and everybody knew what emotion the person was supposed to be feeling and having, experiencing. That is the exact word for hypocrites in the New Testament. A mask wearer. It's not real. Looks real. You understand what they're trying to say, but it's fake. It's a play actor. That's what the word hypocrite means. A play actor. And Jesus said, these play actors, these people who get around religious things and they act like they're religious, but they're just wearing a mask. When they get to the judgment, God's going to say, I didn't know you. You talked a good talk, but you did not walk a good walk. Let's just look at three characteristics very quickly of a hypocrite. Number one, they criticize people and quote rules. Ever met that guy? Dr. Rogers used to say it takes no size to criticize. Look at verses 1 and 2. Then some Pharisees and scribes came to Jesus from Jerusalem and said, why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? Now look, they don't want an answer. They just want to put down the disciples. They don't wash their hands when they eat bread. Well, I tell you what, If that gets you in trouble with God, there's not a young boy in the first grade that's in right with God. Amen? They don't wash their hands. What are they talking about? If you go to Jerusalem, you go to the Wailing Wall, the Western Wall, they've got a big fountain out there, and you see the Jewish people come in, and they're just talking about whatever they want to talk about, and they go over by this specific basin there that is in bronze, and they just do their hands a little bit. They're not cleaning their hands. They're just going through some religious ceremony, and they go down there and pray. Now, I'm not saying none of them mean it, but I can tell you, most of them, it looks to me, don't. When they wash their hands, you know, just ceremonial thing. And that's what their religion was. It was all ceremony. It was all a mask. It was all something that you do to try to impress people. Their religion was this way, not this way. They wanted to impress man. And if you didn't follow their rules, they would criticize you and they would quote you their rule. How does that apply to us? What about the times when we criticize people because they don't obey our rules? And we use this logic, which is illogical. That's not the way we do it around here. That's not the Baptist way. That's not the Assembly of God way. That's not the Church of Christ way. That's not the Catholic way. That's not the Presbyterian way. That's not the cool church way. That's not the liberal church way. That's not the fundamental church way. And they're quoting rule after rule. And they not only quote their rules, they criticize people. They slander people. May I just say this to you? It is dangerous to slander another person. The Bible says in Proverbs 10:18, he who conceals hatred has lying lips, and he who spreads slander is a fool. There are churches all across America that are like the Pharisees and the scribes. They have their rules. If you try to change them, they just look you straight in the eye. They don't say the Bible says you're wrong. They say, we've never done it that way before. And they might even say, we were here before you came. We're going to be here when you leave. And they've got these rules that didn't come from God. They were man-made. God doesn't care about them. But that's the mark of a hypocrite. They criticize people and they quote not scripture, but rules. Second thing is, hypocrites downplay scripture and emphasize tradition. Very similar, a little bit different wording. They downplay scripture. Well, that's a dangerous thing to do. And they lift up tradition. Look at verse 3. Jesus answered and said to them, I love it when he answers with the question because it gives me another sermon to preach. Amen. Why do you yourselves transgress the commandment of God for the sake of your tradition? Boy, he went to the jugular, did he not? He didn't fool around with them. He just got to the point. Question of all questions. Let's just make a point here. Why are you more concerned about your man-made tradition than you are the commandment that God gives? And then he emphasized something. He gives an example. Look at verse 4. For God said, honor your father and mother. I want to ask you, did Jesus honor his father and mother while he was on earth? Yes or no? He sure did. He even took care of his mother while he was on the cross, while he was dying, did he not? The Bible says, he who speaks evil of father or mother is to be put to death. But you say, oh, but whoever says to his father or mother, whatever I have that would help you has been given to God, is Corban. It's given to God. He's not to honor his father or his mother. And by this, you invalidate the word of God for the sake of your tradition. They had these Pharisees that loved money so much, they said, oh, I'm not going to take care of my aging parents. I'm not going to take care of my mom and dad, even though they took care of me. I'm not going to, you know, get down to that level and have to take care of them. All. Everything I have is dedicated to God. So, mom and dad, I can't help you. Look at me. Jesus looked them square in the eye and said, you know what you're doing? You're just a bunch of hypocrites. You're invalidating the word of God for the sake of your tradition. And I believe underneath he was saying, because you love money. Because you love money. You do a lot of things like that, Jesus said. You're more concerned about your man-made tradition than obeying the word of God. Now, I can hear you out there saying, I'm with Jesus. Sick 'em, Jesus. Hey, what about us? You say, Brother Steve, go to the next point real quick. No. I love you too much. When I was being ordained, I can honestly say I'd never heard this phrase before in my life. It was obvious because when I gave my answer, I was trying to be humorous, and the guys ordaining me didn't think it was humorous. They asked me, what do you believe about alien immersion? I'm telling you, I had no clue what they were talking about. How many of you have no clue what I'm talking about? Raise your hand. Okay, alien immersion. Okay. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Three people. Great, great. Okay, great. Alien immersion is this Baptist tradition that we don't practice here, that if you have been baptized by immersion in the name of the triune God as a symbol of your salvation, it's biblical baptism. And if it's biblical baptism, it's good enough for God. And if it's good enough for God, it's good enough for our church. Now, alien immersion, though, makes it sound like you're doing something wrong. I mean, you don't do anything alien, do you? And I looked at those guys, and I didn't know what they were talking about. I said, look, if I can win some people to Jesus from Mars, I'll do it. Y'all are a lot more pleasant than they were about that answer, I'll tell you that. They looked at me, and they said, what are you going to do when someone comes from... They named a denomination. I said, is it scriptural baptism? Well, that's not the point. Well, wait a minute. If that ain't the point, why am I here? And they got bent out of shape. Now, there are some baptisms we don't accept. We don't accept sprinkling. We're not mad at anybody, but we don't think that's baptism because baptism means to immerse, to plunge. You ready? To dunk. I knew one Baptist preacher said, I hold them down till they say tithe, amen? All right. But go underwater is what the word means, baptizo. It's just a transliteration of the word. Baptize is just a English transliteration of a word, baptizo. So we make sure you immerse. We do it in the name of the triune God. I know that there were some people baptized in the name of Jesus, and I had one friend, he said, I'm not going to split hairs over that. I just say, I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Yay, in the name of Jesus I baptize. He just did it all together, amen? That's cool with me. And then some people baptize for salvation. We don't accept those baptisms because it's not, water doesn't save you, it shows that you're saved. And so we don't accept some baptisms, but if they come from another church that's not Baptist, we don't believe God, you ready for it? We don't believe God is a Baptist. So if it's by immersion in the name of the triune God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and symbolic of your salvation, we accept it whether it's Baptist or not. Can I get a witness on that? That's what we ought to do. Why? It's good enough for God, and hey, if it's good enough for God, it ought to be good enough for us. Churches that are against that, in my opinion, fall right where these guys are. They downplay Scripture and they emphasize tradition. One more thing about hypocrites. They offer lip service without heart sincerity. This is the most dangerous part of all for a hypocrite. Their heart is not connected to their lip. What's coming out of their lips is not what's really in their heart. Look at verse 7. You hypocrites, you play actors, rightly did Isaiah prophesy of you, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far away from me. And let me just say, we need to let this warning come to us as well. Sometimes we might be singing, "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me." And we may be actually thinking, you know, I'm a pretty good guy. I'm really not a wretch. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I can see. Lord, you're pretty lucky to have me on your team. Sometimes what we sing doesn't match what's in our heart. Lord, I am desperate for you. I wonder how many times I sing something like that, and I'm not really desperate for God. Oh, I need you. Oh, I need you. Well, I know I need him, but sometimes I don't feel it the way I should. Got to be careful that what comes out of your mouth is really what's in your heart. Or Jesus said, "In vain do you worship me." Look at me. God doesn't accept just any old worship we throw up to him. Talk needs to match walk. When I played football, I can remember a team, we played them every year. We beat them every year. But every year, they won the warm-ups. They came out taunting us. "We're going to get you this year. We're going to beat you. Dyersburg, you're going down." And boy, I mean, they would trash us. "Look at that number 83. Oh, we're going to take him out. Look at that one. We're going to take that quarterback." Oh, and our coach would always say, "Let them win the warm-ups. Let them talk. We'll win the game, and then we'll talk." Some of you need to get, and I need to, let's make sure that our talk and our walk are synonymous. I don't want to worship God in vain, do you? I don't want to stand before God and God say, "Hey, Gaines, too often your lips were saying the right thing, but your heart was far from me." I don't want to hear that from Jesus. "But in vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the precepts of men." Can I just read to you the strongest thing Jesus ever said to hypocrites, play actors, and I'll be through. It's in Matthew. Turn over to Matthew 23 very quickly. I'll just read this and we'll be through. Then Jesus spoke to the crowds, verse 1, and to his disciples, saying, "The scribes and the Pharisees have seated themselves in the chair of Moses. Therefore, all that they tell you, do and observe, but do not do according to their deeds, for they say things and they don't mean them. They tie up very heavy burdens, they lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves are unwilling to move them with so much as a finger." Verse 5. "But they do not do all their deeds to be noticed by men, for they broaden their phylacteries." That was the little bag that held their scripture memory cards. "And they lengthen the tassels of their garments," because that was their prayer tassels. "They love the place of honor at banquets and the chief seats in the synagogues, the respectful greetings in the marketplaces, being called rabbi by men. But do not be called rabbi, for one is your teacher, and you are all brothers. Do not call anyone on earth your father, for one is your father, he who is in heaven. Do not be called leaders, for one is your leader, that is Christ." It's one of the reasons I don't let anybody call me doctor. I'm brother. I got one of the things, but I got over it real quick. And they didn't give me an honorary one. I got a real one. But I'm telling you, without the anointing, who cares about all that if you don't have the anointing of God? Titles mean nothing. They mean nothing. But the greatest among you shall be your servant. Whoever exalts himself shall be humbled. Whoever humbles himself shall be exalted. But woe to you, scribes and Pharisees. Here it is, hypocrites, play actors, because you shut off the kingdom of heaven from people, for you do not enter in yourselves. You don't allow those who are entering to go in. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, play actors, because you devour widows' houses for a pretense. You make long prayers, therefore you'll receive greater condemnation. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, play actors, because you travel around on sea and land and you make one proselyte, and when he becomes one, you make him twice as much a son of hell as yourselves. Woe to you, blind guys, who say, whoever swears by the temple, that is nothing, but whoever swears by the gold of the temple is obligated. You fools, you blind men, which is more important, the gold or the temple that sanctified the gold? And whoever swears by the altar, that is nothing, but whoever swears by the offering on it, he is obligated. You blind men, which is more important, the offering or the altar that sanctifies the offering? Therefore, whoever swears by the altar swears also both by the altar and everything on it. And whoever swears by the temple swears both by the temple and by him who dwells within it. And whoever swears by heaven swears both by the throne of God and by him who sits upon it. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, play actors. You tithe mint and dill and cumin and have neglected the weightier provisions of the law, justice and mercy and faithfulness. But these are the things you should have done without neglecting the others. You blind guides, you strain out a gnat, you swallow a camel. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, play actors. You clean the outside of the cup of the dish, but inside they're full of robbery and self-indulgence. You blind Pharisee, first clean the inside of the cup and of the dish, so that the outside of it may become clean also. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites, you play actors, you mask wearers, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which are on the outside appear beautiful, but inside they're full of dead men's bones, all uncleanness. So you too outwardly, oh, you appear righteous to men, but inwardly you're full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites, you mask wearers, you fakes, for you build the tombs of the prophets, and you adorn the monuments of the righteous and say, oh, if we had been partners with them, and if we had been living in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partners with them in shedding the blood of the prophets. So you testify against yourselves that you are the sons of those who murdered the prophets. Fill up then the measure of the guilt of your fathers. He said, go ahead, kill me. That's what he's saying. You serpents, you brood of vipers, how will you escape the sentence of hell? There used to be a song. Yeah, I was so afraid of it. Even when I was not living for Christ, I wouldn't listen to it. I'm on the highway to hell. How many of you ever heard of that song? Don't act like you never heard about it. It's okay. I never would listen to it because I knew it was not right, even when I was not living for the Lord. I don't know who all is going to go to hell. Well, I do know everybody that doesn't know Jesus, but I'll tell you this. I don't know him by name, but I'll tell you this. You can think you're on your way to heaven and be on the way to hell. And I can tell you, there's a lot of play actors, there's a lot of religious mask wearers that are on their way to hell. They're hypocrites, and hypocrisy is the highway to hell. Many will say to me that day, Lord, Lord, don't be one of those people. Let's pray together. Father, I pray that the words of our mouths, the meditations of our hearts will be acceptable in your sight. Bless us now as we respond to your word. In Jesus' name, amen.